What's up, Jerry Moyers? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we are talking about Brooke's pick of the month, and that is Red State from 2011. I was gonna ask you what made you pick this movie, but then I remembered that it was a wheel spin with like five different movies. So you kind of just let fate decide on this one.
I did, yeah.
But you had a pretty good list of movies on that wheel.
Yeah, not bad.
What about this movie made you add it?
I don't know. I think I was just kind of like Googled like kind of some different horror movies on Reddit that like people like underrated, I guess. And this one came up and I really thought of it as a horror movie, but I
Yeah.
mean, I guess it is. I don't know. We
Kind
can
of like
have that,
real.
I guess, talk in the episode. But yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. I know that you hadn't seen it yet. So, and we like Kevin Smith on this podcast,
We do. That
I
is
think.
very true. And he likes us as Canadians.
It's true. Yeah, because I feel like it's been years since I've been waiting for Moose Jaws.
Yeah, it still says it's in production on IMDb. So I
Yeah.
feel like we can still hold out hope for it. Because I was starting to get a little I don't know, starting to think that it wasn't going to come out, but I did see it on there. So there's still hope.
Yep.
All right, before we start talking about this movie though, we will kick off our booze and news. I think I said that reverse. But anyways, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a Stella Artois.
Very nice.
Nice and fancy.
We're both drinking fancy beer.
Oh, yeah?
I have a Kronenbourg 1664.
Nice.
The only problem with mine though, I forgot to put it in the fridge. So it's like room temperature.
Fucking expensive, though, man. I got like 24 Stellas, and then I got Bettina just like, 2 6 packs of like Heineken non-alcoholic, and it was
Yeah.
like fucking almost $80 for all that. It's like
Jesus.
74, $76. It's like,
Wow. I don't think I've ever bought a case of Stella. It's like
yeah,
a it's a restaurant
it's
beer.
a premium beer, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. What have you watched this week?
Only one movie this week. I watched Bad Boys 2.
Oh, nice.
I was just kind of browsing Crave, and they have all the Bad Boys on there, I assume, because a new one just came out. It's been a while since I've seen Bad Boys 2. I didn't realize it was that fucking long. It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's a long one.
It's good, but like, just yeah, the runtime is pretty long.
Yeah.
But that's yeah, a classic.
I gotta ask, why'd you watch the sequel and not the first one?
Because I bought the 4K trilogy like last year,
Okay.
and I've watched the 4K version of the first Bad Boys, so I was like, I'll throw the second one on. I just
Okay.
watched the first one not too long ago.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a weird flex.
Yeah, I know. And then The Boys dropped this week. I think 3 episodes have dropped. I'm not sure when the next one's coming out, but I've watched the first 2 episodes, and it's
Good.
such a good show, man.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's one of the best shows going. Yeah.
Nice. I rewatched the season one, episode one, because I'm gonna go and rewatch the whole series
Yeah.
because I haven't watched the third season yet. So,
Shit.
and like the first season came out so long ago.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go through and rewatch them all. Yeah.
Make sure you watch Gen V after season 3.
Is it after seasons? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because they're going back and forth now between,
Yeah.
yeah, and they kind of play into each other, so
Okay. I know season 5 of The Boys is going to be the last season too. As for me, I also only watched one movie. I watched Real Steel the other night. What was it? Is it on Netflix? That yeah.
it is, yeah.
Yeah, 'cause you and I were talking about it while I was watching it, and I don't know, man. I really enjoyed that movie a lot.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah.
Yeah. It like I kind of just threw it on to have like background noise on while I was doing something else, and then I ended up sitting there and watching the whole thing. But
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just a it's a fun, heartfelt movie with a
Yeah.
weird plot, but I don't know, it's a good time. Other than that, yeah, haven't done much. Haven't watched much. Been boring. As for news, the only thing I have, and it's sad news, but the Canadian legend and icon Donald Sutherland sadly passed away today at the ripe age of 88 years old.
I always forget that he's Canadian.
Yeah, I did too until I saw it today. I was like, oh yeah, fuck, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
He just doesn't seem like a Canadian actor
No, he doesn't. No.
because he's just like, he's so big, right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of Canadian actors are huge.
And he kind of like sounds like he has a British accent too.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely pretty upsetting. He was a pretty big name in Hollywood, and he
Yeah.
had quite a decent resume in the horror community too, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only news that I have.
Nice.
4Ks.
Four case. So we got Love Lies Bleeding, which came out
Oh,
this year, which
nice.
I haven't seen, but I do want to watch it.
Yeah, me too.
The Karate Kid, American Gigolo.
That's another one I want to watch.
What, American Gigolo?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. We got Chinatown. RoboCop 2,
It's the
and
RoboCop remake too.
Bound, action, which Jennifer Tilly is
Gina
in,
Gershon.
Joey Pantolo, Pantoliano.
There you go. Looks sexy.
It does, yeah. That's it.
Sweet. Not a bad release
All
date.
right.
Okay. Well, I guess we can start talking about this movie. Short and sweet. Booze and news. All right, like we said in the intro, this week we are talking about Red State from 2011. Starting off with the synopsis. Set in Middle America, a group of teens receive an online invitation for sex, though they soon encounter fundamentalists with a much more sinister agenda. This movie was directed by our boy Kevin Smith. If you don't know who he is, stop listening now. But he has directed movies such as Tusk, Yoga Hosers. We've covered both of them.
Yep.
He's done the Clerks franchise, Dogma, Mallrats, Jay and Silent Bob, Zach and Mary Make a Porno. Like, basically anything with like Jason Mewes, Jason Lee, Ethan Suplee, like any of those movies, he kind of either produced, acted in, or directed. What's he's got a comic book show too. What was it called?
Comic book man.
That makes sense, yeah.
And then he did the Masters of the Universe movie on Netflix a
Did he?
few years ago. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Sweet. The cast list. There's a lot of actors in this movie.
There is. I haven't watched this in a while, and it's like, oh
Yeah.
shit, they're in this?
Yeah. So I have five for the main cast just because there's a couple that I couldn't not have in here. Starting off though, I have Michael Parks, who played Aben Cooper. He's in the Grindhouse movies. He was also in Tusk. He played the old man in that. He's in Kill Bill 1 and 2, Django Unchained, Argo, and We Are What We Are.
Does he play Bill in Kill Bill?
No, that was David Carradine, wasn't it?
Oh.
He sadly passed away back in 2017, though. Kyle Gallner's in this, played
Yeah.
Jared. He's in Smile, Scream 5, The Passenger, The Outsiders TV show, and Jennifer's Body. Carrie Bichet played Cheyenne. She was also in Argo, Madame Web, Penny Dreadful, Halt and Catch Fire. Michael Ingarano played Travis. He's in Lords of Dogtown, just one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. Almost Famous, which you just recently watched.
Oh, yeah.
He's the main guy in that. Wildcard, Sky High, and Oppenheimer. And lastly, I have John Goodman, who played Joseph Keenan, and I didn't bother going through his cat or his resume because it's John
Yeah.
Goodman.
Yeah.
I have a pretty extensive honorable mentions list, but I'll
Okay.
let you lead the way on that one.
So I have Nicholas Braun, who played Billy Ray. And if you have watched Succession, then you know him as Cousin Greg.
Okay.
But he is also on in the movie, I just watched it, Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh shit, he was in that.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
We
he
both
has the
just watched
most
that.
ridiculous mullet in this movie, too.
I love it.
Yeah. Another one is they got the Breaking Bad cast in this movie.
Yeah, they
Pretty
do.
much. We got Anna Gunn, who is most famously for playing Skyler in Breaking Bad. She was Travis's mother. And then we got Badger, Matt Jones, who plays Deputy Pete. And I mean, I got a couple more, but I'll let you.
I have Steven Root, who plays Milton in Office Space. He
Yeah.
was just in something too that we watched, because I remember having this conversation about him before. I don't remember what it was though. And then I have Patrick Fischler, who was at the end of the movie, and he's just one of those guys that's like, oh yeah, that guy. He's not like in anything
Oh, he
huge,
was
but
one of the agents.
at the end.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
And lastly, I have James Parks, who played Mordecai in this movie, and he is Michael Parks' son.
I don't see it, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're talking
I swear,
He's
I
been in a
just.
lot of shit, so I
That's why I
mean.
didn't even bother looking, because he has like 238 acting credits. I was just like, I'm not going to bother going through
He was
this.
in Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in a lot of shit. But yeah. Cool.
All right, did you have anybody else or?
I don't think so. No, I don't. No. Yeah, no one else.
All right. Let's kick off this movie discussion then.
All right. So this is the first time watch for you.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so this movie's pretty much about this crazy church that basically they're like kind of Catholic, but not really. Like they kind of like they do like read the Bible and go by all that, but they kind of work on their own agenda a bit. We see the beginning of the movie, just say Skyler and Travis are driving and there's a funeral going on for one of the students at his high school who was gay and was well, he's found in the in a dumpster behind a restaurant, wrapped up in saran wrap and killed. And we see Aben Cooper and his church. They're called 5 Points Trinity Church. And they are protesting this funeral. That's kind of the thing they do. Like I think they've protested, said the movie like over like 500 times in the past like 2 to 3 years, and like they even went to Italy to protest the Pope.
People like this are just grade A pieces of shit.
Yeah,
Like,
like
if
I.
you protest at a fucking funeral.
Yeah. Like I don't hear about this stuff anymore, or like I'm sure it still goes on, but like I do remember around this time, like this was a huge thing. And like not even protesting like gay people, but military and stuff like that. Like,
Yeah.
I remember when all this was happening. Like, there's that amazing video of the Foo Fighters
Oh yeah.
when they are in the back of the truck and they're all dressed like women or something like that. They have They Were Gonna Give You Up by what's fucking name.
Oh, Astley, Rick Astley.
And they have it going on. They're just blasting the music and this protest is going on. Oh, it's great. Definitely pieces of shit that do this kind of stuff. It's like, no respect for anybody. And Travis is like at school with Jared and Billy Ray, and they're like talking about the protest, and like I think one of them says like even the Nazis think that Aben Cooper is nuts because like they condemned this church for like the protests and stuff like that. And it's like,
It was their teacher that brought that up.
oh yeah,
And this
and
teacher's so badass, man. Like, I wish we
yeah,
had a teacher like that in high school.
she's like, oh, it's bad when even the Nazis like condemn you. But yeah, there's Greg, not Greg. Billy Ray has quite the fucking mullet. It's like super short hair, and then like the back is like, I don't know, man, it's fucking super long.
Halfway down his back. So great, though. I love it.
And they are pretty much like talking about girls, stuff like this, and there's like this kind of Craigslist type app that has all these girls who like show their tits and stuff and will like let you have sex with them basically. And it's all like people in like LA and New York, and they're like looking, and then they find a girl who's like close by, and like it blurs out their face, you can't really see what they look like, and it's close by, and they're like, oh, like this is perfect girl. And then Jared is like, oh, I've been talking to her for weeks, she wants to have sex with me. And then they're like, oh, no way. And he's like, yeah, she wants to fuck all three of us. It's like,
Is that not a red flag right there? Like,
oh, there's so many red flags leading up to this whole thing. Like, the whole thing could have been avoided so easily.
100%.
Later that night, they borrow his mom's car, and they're driving the road, and it's dark at night, and they're kind of like arguing stuff like that. And then they hit a car that's parked on the road out of nowhere.
Best part of the movie.
So they're like freaking out. They get out. They're like looking at the damage, and the other car is pretty like fucked up too. And they get closer all of a sudden. His name,
Even
the
Rude.
sheriff, he pops up, and two guys pop up. So they're, he's sucking them off right in the car, and the boys like freak out, run away, and flee the scene. And then, and I think whoever says like Billy Ray is like, oh, we can't let this take away what's gonna happen tonight, let's go get some pussy. And like they're just all hyped up.
Although whenever they pull up to like pull into the driveway too, and the woman lives in a trailer park or a trailer, and Billy Ray's like, oh, she lives in a trailer, and they're like, you fucking live in a trailer, dumbass.
So they get out, they go up, and the girl comes out, and it's an older lady, and like they don't even like say anything, like clearly this girl is in her like late 40s, early 50s, right? And like they don't even really say anything. She has a beer, and she's like, all right, boys, come on in for the fun. And they're like getting all hyped up, and they go in there, they're like super nervous, and she's like, all right, your boys want beers, and gives them a couple beers. And then they're sitting on the like bed couch thing, and they're drinking beers, and she's like, yeah, I always feel like the beer helps with the sex part. And she's like being really weird, but like they're kind of still like, all right. And then she opens the fridge, and there's like, how do you not pick up on this? The beers she pulls out of the fridge have no lids on them.
They're already open.
They're already open. Just he's feeding them beers, and like,
Like, at least make it look like at least try and hide the fact. You know what I mean? Like just put the caps on top and pretend to take them off.
It's like so obvious. So they're drinking the beers. She tells them to go into the room and start stripping down. So they're like making their way in. They get, I think, down to their underwear. Then they just like fucking boom, like pass right out.
Yeah.
And then you see, I think it's through Jared's view or one of them. It's like blurry, but there's all these guys that come in and then they pack them up into a cage.
Almost got you burpy.
I know. So we see Jared is in a cage. He is has like a blanket over it. And like I don't know at this part, like if he's in a truck or if
It
it's just
seemed
like
like he was.
or if it's like just the transition because he's like shaking and stuff like this, and he's like screaming, get me the fuck out of here. And the cage is shaking some more. Then like a little girl like lifts up the thing. He's like inside of like a church, and it's like fuck, like she's just in a cage, and you know there's little girls and shit around it, and like they don't even really know what's happening or care, right? So we see Jared is the only one in this area. All the people are there on their the pews or whatever they're called, and Aben is like doing his sermon. We see there's like a giant sheet with clearly someone behind it, you know what, who it is or what it is, right? And he's doing a sermon, and I really like this whole sermon part. Like, I don't like him as a character. I don't obviously agree with anything he says, but
Yeah.
it's very engaging, and like you're like listening to what he says.
Yeah, you can almost understand how he's gotten this following. 'Cause he's very charismatic. He uses the right words. He's very like boisterous, like he's using his hands a lot, and he's very loud. He's definitely getting his point across.
And so, you know, his whole thing is homosexuals is basically saying that they're Satan's weapons. And like the one thing I don't really get about what he's saying, so like they take the kids away and stuff like this, then like they reveal the person on the sheet, and it's not one of the kids, it's just some guy. He's like gagged, he's like naked, just like wrapped in saran wrap, and they are going on about like how they're the ones that killed Jacob Harlow, like they have to cleanse like basically the human race because the human race is becoming vile and stuff like that. I did like this kill, like it's the way it was shot, I thought was really cool. So this guy like in saran wrap, and he calls like all like the dads and the men up, and they basically start wrapping his face up. And then the one guy, I think his name's Caleb, he like points the gun like straight down his head. And you know, he says like, you know, go to hell, motherfucker, or some shit like that. And shoots him. And then he's obviously dead. And then they open up the trap door underneath, and down there is Travis and Billy Ray. And they drop the body down there and falls on top of them. And at this point, Jared in the cage is like in front of this, and he gets the blanket off, and he's, you know, sees this happen right in front of him. And you know, the whole time he's saying like they take him out, and he's like, you know, I'm not gay, I'm not gay. Like, why are you doing this? And this is where it kind of like gets weird because like Aben, they're all about like killing the homosexuals and stuff, but they're clearly not gay. But then he says, you know, you guys are having sex in the same room with the same girl. So like that's homosexual in his eyes. Meanwhile, outside, the sheriff sent one of his deputies there, and I don't know if the sheriff, if his, no, his wife isn't dead
No.
because Aben later tries to blackmail him. But basically, the sheriff gets in the office and he like sits down at his desk and opens up a bottle of fucking whiskey and just starts fucking bawling his eyes out because clearly he has some stuff going on. I don't know if it's like stuff at home or if he is just like secretly gay and he just doesn't know what to do about it.
Yeah, I feel like this is because it's Southwest, like a Southwestern town, right? So Obviously, not everyone in the town is as extreme as the Five Points Church, but it may still be considered frowned upon for him to be gay, especially him being a sheriff. Like, I feel like he is afraid to come out and expose that side of himself. But like, he's also married too, right? So if he gets outed, then like his whole life is going to get turned upside down.
So the sheriff tells the deputy to that he got hit by a car, or the got sideswiped by a car, and to go out in the town and try and track down this car to see who it belongs to. So he drives by the church and he sees the car with the damage on it. So he goes up to the church, tries to get in, then Aben comes out, and Aben's like so, I don't know, like quiet and like calm. Cause he just cause the deputy's like getting trying to get into the gate. And Aben just like comes out nonchalantly, is just like puts his hands up on the fence, just like, yeah, you're not gonna be able to get through there. You know, this has an electronic whatever lock on it or something like that. And he's just talking to him so calmly.
To the point where, like, he's super creepy. Nobody should be that calm.
So he's talking to him and he convinces the deputy to leave. To pretty much say, yeah, he convinces him to leave. And meanwhile, in the church, the guy falls down into the thing, and then Billy Ray and Travis are down there and they're like trying to get out. And I think Travis says, I think this guy like broke a bone because it's like sticking out. He's like, push me towards the bones like if I can cut this saran wrap. And they do end up getting out. Billy Ray gets out first, and they have Travis is still tied up and Billy Ray's out. And then they're like trying to get out, and then Billy Ray is like says, fuck it, it's too tight, and he leaves them. He's running in like this underground kind of bunker thing. And at this point,
It's the weapon room, like the armory that they have down there.
yeah, but how did Caleb and them figure they were gone?
I think they looked down the hole, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they looked down the hole, and then I think they were like almost free, I think. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they did. Because they were pretty much free. And so Billy Ray runs away. He gets into this room, and Caleb is chasing him through the thing. And Billy Ray bursts into this room and like just total shocker. Just guns and guns and weapons and anything you can think of. This, you know, 10 by 10 room is just packed full of so much guns.
It's like that scene in Terminator 2 whenever they go to like that place in Texas. Anyways, it was Sarah Connor's friend, and they have this like huge fucking like bunker full of weapons in there. It was like that.
So he obviously grabs an AK-47 and he's like pointing the gun at the door, and Caleb like bursts in, and immediately Billy doesn't even get, well, he does get a chance, but just Caleb was way too quick on a shot, just immediately shoots Billy Ray right in the head, and Billy Ray, like as he's dying, shoots the gun and ends up shooting Caleb. And then the gunshots happen, and obviously, outside the deputy and Aben hear the gunshots. So the deputy calls in to the sheriff, and he's like, "Hey, we got shots fired at Five Points Church." And then Aben is like, you know, he's like, okay, well, you know, you're out of luck now, whatever. And then was it named Mordecai? Mordecai comes out and he's just like, I got this, boss. Or they'll call him like dad and daddy. It's very weird.
Yeah, 'cause he's like a cult leader, right?
So he comes out, he's like, oh, I got this, boss. Just fucking fires a shotgun at the deputy. And then the sheriff's on their line, like, was that shots fired, deputy? Are you okay? And can't hear them. David gets on the talkie, is talking to him, and Sheriff's like, who's this? And it's like, Aben, the Five Points Church, your guy's dead here. And basically calls out the sheriff and is like, I know that you park your car on whatever county road at this time of night, at this time on this day, and basically says you're sucking dick. And if you don't leave or you don't call anyone, then I won't tell your wife about what you do. And why do you think the sheriff decided to call Joe?
I feel like he's morally obligated to,
Yeah.
well, morally and professionally. Like, I feel like something like that needs to be done.
Because
Because
like he's
Joe.
at his desk and then he has a gun out and like he's putting it up in his mouth and stuff like this, and it's like obviously he's thinking about killing himself, right?
Yeah, so I think, like, at this point in his life, he's just kind of tired of hiding, tired of trying to be someone that he's not actually. So it's just like, whatever. If I get outed, I get outed, and I'm a backup plan.
So yeah, Joseph Keenan, he works for the ATF, which I think they deal with like gun control and stuff like that in the state. So yeah, all the members are downstairs and they look in the room and they see that Caleb is dead and Caleb's wife, Sarah, obviously fucking broken up about it. And I like this part because they're like in the doorway and they're, they don't know who is down there, right? So you're just like, oh, these two homosexuals, Caleb killed these two guys before they could do anything. So, Caleb did good. And like you don't realize, you're like, who's that other guy? Like, is it Jared? Because it's like you didn't see Travis run away, right? And like she goes up to him and like kicks him and stuff like this, and Aben kind of tells her like he got rid of two of them and he's on his way to Jesus. He's gonna have a big mansion, stuff like that. They go upstairs and then you see Travis was hiding under Billy Ray. He grabs one of the AKs and goes back upstairs, and they're kind of all mourning Caleb and in this little congregation, and he's like has a gun on Aben. Could basically kill him.
This part was so stupid.
I know. Like you have an AK-47. Shoot everybody. Right?
Like, because the small kids weren't in that room.
No.
They were up in the attic,
Yeah.
having their Sunday church, Sunday school kind of thing. So just, like, open up.
Yeah. And then it looks like he's about to shoot Sarah or whatever. And then he sees that Jared is still tied up. But then he just runs away. So it's like, you're not saving Jared. Just fucking shoot as many people as you can. They don't have guns in this area. So he just like fucking books it through everybody, runs away. They start chasing him. And he's like running away through this house, like scared and stuff. But it's like they don't have weapons. Just turn around and shoot them.
Yeah. That's, I don't understand why he didn't. Like, I guess I can kind of understand him not opening fire, like, in the church area. Like, he doesn't want a stray bullet to hit Jared. Fine. Cool. But whenever they're chasing you through the rest of the place, like you said, yeah, turn around and start shooting.
We do get a scene with Joe and his wife at home. He's like talking to his higher up, and he's kind of giving like background on a bit of the church. There's 20 to 25 members, and they are all blood related or marriage, so it's very hard to get someone on the inside. Like a few years ago, they decided to get all this cardboard and stuff like this and built the Great Wall of Bullshit. So they get there, they're outside, they have like a couple of vehicles and like a big kind of not a tank but a SWAT vehicle basically. And What was your thought of Travis Rouen's side there?
So I didn't see that coming at all, because
Me
we don't know that ATF is there yet, and Travis is just like
Right.
running through the front garden area, and all of a sudden he just gets shot out of nowhere. And I was like, well, was there like a sniper up in the window or something like that? And then the camera cuts to all the ATF vehicles, and Joe, who's played by John Goodman, he's like, who the fuck shot that? Or who shot him? Who gave the okay to shoot him? Who the fuck was that? And then like there's his like second in command. He's like, yeah, the fat fucking sheriff over there. Local fucking sheriff. And Goodman
Just
just
like,
starts going off on
oh
him.
man, he's like, why the fuck did you shoot? And he sheriff is like, he had a fucking AK-47. And he's like, did he shoot at us? He's like, no, but it's like, shit, man.
And they made him get in his car, and he wasn't allowed to get out of his car.
And then at that point, just fucking all hell breaks loose. All the people outside are just start shooting up, and just a couple agents who dig do get shot. Joe gets shot in the leg.
Joe actually doesn't get shot in the leg.
What?
It was a ricochet of his second in command's brain matter. Like skull.
Really?
Yeah, he mentions it later on whenever he's on the phone.
Jesus.
He's like, I got a piece of so-and-so's skull lodged in my knee.
Wow,
I'm
I
like, oh
missed that.
fuck. I thought he got shot too until that part came up. I was like, God damn, man, that's brutal.
Wow.
Because Buddy got shot right through the eye, right?
Yeah, that was fucking crazy.
Didn't expect that either.
Some of the kills and stuff in this are like pretty, right?
It's very Kevin Smith.
So he's talking to his higher up, and fuck, what does he say? I mistyped it. But he's on the phone with something, and Joe says something like, so and so just shit itself. What does he say? Oh yeah. He says, he says, you said this was going to be a simple in and out, sir. And he's like, simple just shit itself. He's like holding the fucking phone up to all the guns and shit going off, and oh, I laughed. And so he's like arguing back and forth with his boss, and they want to search the premises and stuff like this, because they think there's firearms at this church. And so basically his boss tells them to basically kill everyone there,
Doesn't
to
matter who it is.
go into here, kill them all. At one point we see one of the girls, Cheyenne, she ends up running out of the thing, and one of the agents is there, and he like points a gun at her, and she's like, no, like, stop, like, I just want to get out, I want to get the children here, I want to get them out. And he's kind of like, not sure what to do, so he pulls out a gun out of his like ankle and fires all the bullets out of it, and then he gives it to her, and he's like, okay, run back in the house. And it's like, okay, she knows what you're gonna fucking do. Like, what's the point of emptying the fucking bullets in front of her? Because even she's like, well, you're just gonna shoot me. And she like grabs him, starts tussling with him, and then out of nowhere, Sarah just comes out of nowhere, back like under his helmet, just fucking shoots him. I thought the actress that played Sarah was so fucking good.
She was really good.
Like,
I hated her, but she was
oh
really good. She's the same one that was messaging the guys to get them to come and have sex with her.
So Joe is in the kind of stables. He's talking to, I guess, his kind of second in command. And, his second in command is like, let's just like try and get, I think he wants to get like the children and women out of there. But then Joe is like, I gotta do what my boss is telling me. He's like, what does he say? He says, the church has the intentions of bombing a shopping mall, In the fight, all suspects were killed and stuff like that. So he's basically making up a story to cover what they're about to do. So, like, there isn't really a good guy in this movie per se, right?
Fair, yeah.
Because if the ATF is trying to cover up what they're about to do, like, they're going to kill all the kids and women in this. They don't give a fuck, right? And so in the house, Jared is still tied up, and Cheyenne comes out of nowhere, and she actually unties him and stuff like this, and she takes him upstairs to the main part of the house. And we see another girl with all the kids, they're like praying and stuff like this in one of the rooms. And she takes him into a bedroom, and she wants him to help her to get the kids out. And basically what she wants to do is for these two to tell the truth of what's happening. He's like, why would I fucking help you guys? Like, you're about to kill me, you killed my friends. And he's basically telling her to kill her, to kill him. And then out of nowhere, Sarah comes running in with a no, she doesn't have a gun, I don't think. Cheyenne has a gun.
Yeah, she comes running in because in the middle of the gunfight, Aben tells her to go get him some sweet tea.
Oh yeah, give me some sweet tea, will ya?
She's on her way back, and yeah, she notices Cheyenne and Jared, and they're like kind of in a tussle a little bit, but it
Yeah.
looks like they're like fooling around, kind of, I think, whenever she comes
Okay.
in.
Yeah.
So she loses her shit.
And like the whole whenever her Aben and Sarah there like in the door frame fucking shooting at everyone, they kind of had a weird like I don't know, it's like they're flirting with each other, but like not really, because Sarah is basically saying like I want to die, I want to go to Jesus with Caleb and stuff like this, and Aben's like telling her like, oh yeah, you're gonna have the biggest mansion ever and all this stuff. Kale's gonna be waiting for you, and you know, just a typical kind of cultish stuff, right? And so while they're tussling, Sarah runs in and pushes Jared away, and then Cheyenne is kind of tussling with her mom and ends up shooting her mom, and she ends up dying. And then we get a little shot of Mordecai and I think his wife or something. They are with Aben. Shit's kind of getting out of hand now, and they're like, okay, head to the top of the crown. So they like run up there and they're like perched on the top of the roof, just fucking murking guys. And then out of nowhere, fucking someone gets killed in front of Joe, and Joe like just kind of looks up, just like boo, just shoots him right in the fucking head. It's so sick.
Yeah. You know it's not sick.
What?
John Goodman's running.
He's a large man, okay?
It's not as large in this movie.
No.
He was in the midst of his weight loss. I just thought it was funny.
I love the sheriff gets shot in the head too.
Yeah.
He just chilling in his car and saw the fucking blood just yeah.
I'd be out of there. Like, if you're telling me that I can't like do anything, okay, I'm gone. See ya. Fuck that.
And then also another thing fucking out of nowhere. So Shine and Jared come running out of the building, and John is there, and he's like, put your hands up and blah blah blah. And you know, Jared is like, oh, I'm a hostage, I'm a hostage. And she says, you know, I just want to get, you know, I know I've done so much bad stuff and all this, but I just want to get the kids out of there.
She's like, I have enough evidence that'll lock all of us away for life. Like, you don't need to kill us.
And then just fucking Joe's right-hand man just comes up, boom, points at Jared, fucking shoots Jared. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And at this point, Joe is just like, I don't even know, man.
Yeah, because like you know why the guy did it. He was just like, here's your fucking orders, asshole. I'll just fucking shoot everybody like you want me to. Just unfortunate for Jared.
Yeah.
He just wanted to get his dicky sticky.
Yeah. And now kind of comes the end of the movie, which I didn't really remember too much, but I don't know, the ending kind of lost it for me a bit. I didn't really like the ending that much.
Okay.
So I totally forgot this happened, by the way. So out of nowhere, you hear this loud, like, bellowing noise, and it sounds like these trumpets being played, kind of. And then in the church, Aben and stuff, and them all hear it, and they're like, "Oh fuck, it's like the rapture." They're like saying Bible stuff. I don't know, I'm not religious. So they like drop all their weapons and then walk out to Joe and them, and Joe and them are like, "Put your hands up," and Aben's kind of doing his talking and stuff like that, right? And he's explaining what the noise is, because it's like very loud, and even like the agents can hear it, right? And he says like there's like three bells or whatever.
Three trumpets, and it's supposed to sound like the coming of Jesus. And he, like you said, like he's quoting passages from the Bible. But it basically means that like they're all being saved and Jesus is coming to get them and stuff like
Yeah.
that.
Then I love like the one guy just he just like starts trying to run away, but it's like, why are you running away? Like, I don't know. And then like one of the agents just fucking shoots him. Yeah, and then Aben gets right up close to Joseph, like in his face, and he's telling like after the, because I think five, you hear five trumpets, and Aben is like, on the sixth trumpet is when, I forget, some guy or whatever, parts the sea and stuff like this, and basically it's the rapture that comes and gets rid of our planet and stuff like that, right? And they're like face to face, and all of a sudden it cuts to Joe in a kind of courtroom conference thing,
Interrogation sort of thing.
interrogation, telling his side of the story, and like, I don't know, that this just totally took me out of it.
Like, you subdued Aben by how again? And he kind of smirks and he's like with a headbutt.
So they basically say, you apprehended the church, but you directly disobeyed an order from your higher up. And they say, you're being let go from your leadership in the ATF, and you're being reassigned somewhere else.
The FBI, I think, wasn't it?
Something like that. Yeah.
Because he
He
says,
says,
like, wait, I'm getting a promotion.
yeah, he's like, yeah, we'll find someplace for you or something like that. And then he turns the camera off the guy, and he's like, yeah, off the record. And then no, Joe is like, well, you're still gonna kill them, like the church and stuff like that, right? And then he's like, yeah, like that's the orders. We're, gonna kill everyone in the church, because Aben is in jail, but everyone else I think is out, right?
Yeah, I think so. We only see Aben in church. But we find out during this meeting too that the trumpet sounds Aben, there's like a group of farmers, like student farmers
Like
in
college kids, kind of.
like in the field behind them. And Aben tried to like burn down their barn or something like that. So they're like it ends up being that they're weed farmers, so they those trumpets were them just fucking with them, as like a prank, getting back at them for trying to burn down their barn.
Yeah, they had some, I don't know, some, I forget what they call it, like some old contraption, and they had it hooked up to an iPod. Just quite funny.
In this meeting too, they're after they shut the camera off, they're all laughing at the irony that Aben, who is like totally homophobic, but meanwhile he's likely gonna get raped a whole bunch of times in prison and shit like that.
And yeah, the movie kind of ends with, we see Aben in prison, he's in his cell, and He's just spouting off more, Bible stuff. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Alrighty. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
All right. How did you rate this movie?
I'll give the story a I'll give the story a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
I don't know, I guess it is like very reminiscent of kind of this time back then, because there was a lot acceptance was just kind of starting to happen. Like at this time, like I'm sure at this time there were still a lot of states and stuff like that that were against gay marriage and stuff like that. So like this is kind of like the start of all that. The characters were like I didn't mind. You didn't really get much backstory in much of them. Like the basically the only fleshed out character we got was kind of Joseph, but even not really him. Yeah, I don't know that much of a story, honestly, here. Quality, I'll give it a 6 out of 10. I did like how the way it was filmed and all the shots and stuff like that. I like that kind of like grainy footage kind of like feel to it a bit. And I thought the acting was actually pretty good for some of the people. And yeah, I don't know. Just kind of meh.
All right.
So 5 out of 10 and 6 out of 10.
It's your pick, man.
I know, I know. It's been a while since I've seen this, so what would you?
I give the story a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
We've seen cult movies like this before. But I like how they kind of switched up, like how they got the sinners to the compound with,
Yeah.
like, it was very, it was like a very modern feel, like, promising them sex through an app and shit like that. Like, it made sense for the time that it came out. And like, I don't know, I feel like the plot was just a really good pick for Kevin Smith because he's often able to deal with like real shit and stuff that can actually happen, but also make it a comedy at the same time. Like, there's some dark humor in this movie. Like, I would consider this like a dark comedy in a
For
sense.
sure. Yeah.
So I don't know. I just feel like it was a fun enough movie. Like, it wasn't anything groundbreaking, but quality, I give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Wow.
I thought the acting in this movie was phenomenal, and the casting choices were so good. Like
Yeah, they were.
Michael
Yeah.
Parks was a fucking wicked cult leader.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
And like we mentioned before, like he's just so charismatic and like people listen to him and he's very convincing. I just feel like he did a really, really good job. But like all the characters I thought did, like we'd mentioned a couple people that we hated in this movie, but we hated them because they did such a great job. And like John Goodman is, he's always good. And then like that end shootout, like I just thought it was super fun to watch. Like it had me on the edge of my seat. Like there's just constant gunfight, and it really reminded me of the opening scene in The Devil's Rejects. Like they had the shootout at the house. So I don't know. I thought it was a good movie. I liked how it was shot, and yeah.
Nice.
So 6 out of 10 and 8 out of 10 for me.
Nice. All right. Glad you liked it.
All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see how they scored it. The critics' consensus: Red State is an audacious and brash affair that ultimately fails to provide competent scares or thrills. I don't like this synopsis because I don't feel like it was supposed to have scares or thrills. Like
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't know. Like it's labeled as a horror movie, but I don't. Anyways, what do you think the critics scored it?
I think the critics scored it a, I'll say 61.
Oh,
Did I get
nailed
it? Hell yeah.
it. 61% on 92 reviews and an average score of 6 out of 10.
Nice. All right.
The audience score was a 54% on 10,000 ratings and an average score of 3.3 out of 5, or a 6.6 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right.
What about Letterboxd?
Letterboxd is the exact same. It's a 3 out of 5. My friend's ratings is a 3.1, so a bit higher. I give it a 3.5, no, a 3 out of 5. You get a 4 out of 5. Jess from Horror Movie Crew gave it a 3.5. Who else? No. Nathan from Hope You Suffer podcast gave it a 4 out of 5. That's it.
All right. Fairly well received.
Yeah.
Where does this like rate on Kevin Smith's movies for you? Or it's horror movies, at least.
I don't know. I'd say like Kevin Smith's movies are like, I don't know, to me, like they're good but not great. You know?
Except
Like
for
they're kind of
Tusk.
on the cusp of like not bad, but like I
They're
think
perfect
between,
cult classic movies.
yeah, like there's no movie that like blows me away, right? Or like I think is like fabulous. I don't know. Yeah. What about you?
I think Tusk is an amazing movie.
I like Tusk, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, for me, I think he only has the three horror movies, right? Like this, Tusk, and Yoga Hosers, if you want to even consider that a horror movie.
Yeah.
But anyways, this falls in the middle. Like Tusk is like his big one for me, and then I would put this in, and then Yoga Hosers third.
Okay. Yeah.
Mean, it was good. All right, you ready for the scare section? What'd you give for a scare rating?
Not really a scary movie. I'll give it a 2 out of 10.
Okay.
I mean, I guess there is some realism to this movie, I guess. And also like the kills were very graphic and like very real. So yeah, I'm gonna go with 2 out of 10. Scary scene. I mean, not really a scary scene really in this movie, but I'll say whenever the first cop gets shot in the fucking eyeball, because it's like
Oh, that one. Yeah.
right beside like John Goodman, and you see like the guy's eye immediately a fucking hole in his head, and it's
Yeah.
like even John is like, holy fuck. Just fucking books it out of there. Yeah. And would I survive? I don't know. Depends who I am in this situation. I feel like I would be caught in a sex trap and
Jesus
lured
Christ.
to this cult, so.
All right. Yeah.
But I feel like if I was Travis, I would have fucking shot someone,
Okay.
but I probably would have made it out anyway, right? So, I don't know. I'll say no.
All right.
What about you?
My scare rating, I gave it a 3 out of 10. That
Okay.
like basically the same thing as you. Like the movie itself isn't scary, but like this is a potentially very real thing that could happen. And has happened. Like we've seen Waco. Like that shit was
Yeah.
a fucking same thing almost. And yeah, like you said, like a lot of the kills are very graphic, very realistic. Like there's not anything over the top. It's just like very realistic gore, which is good. Scariest scene, like I just said when Travis gets shot because I wasn't expecting it at all. Like he was just like running and then just boom, dead. It was like shit. Would I survive? I said yes, because even as a teenager, I knew better than to believe the hot MILFs in your area are looking to fuck ads. So I went the opposite of
All right.
I'm not getting caught up in a sex ring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think I don't know if I would have been there.
Right.
So just, yeah. Anyways, okay. Well, that wraps it up. It's time for my pick.
Dun dun
Next
dun.
movie. I was telling you I was going back and forth on a whole bunch of different movies. I was having a hard time deciding, but I've landed on a movie that I've wanted to do for a very, very long time. But I either A, just kept sitting on it, or B, kept forgetting to pick it. But anyways, I'm choosing House of Wax.
Yes.
I feel like this has been on the docket for a long time.
I know. Even I've wanted to fucking pick it for a while, so
Yeah.
nice. Good pick.
And our friend Jackie, who is a listener, she's kind of said a couple times to Sarah, like, tell them to do House of Wax. Oh, here we are. We're gonna do it finally.
Yeah, nice. I'm pumped.
Anyways, in the meantime, check out our other episodes. Yeah, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at A Podcast on Elm Street on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Click the link in our bio on Instagram. You'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch, and there's a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thank you for
Yes.
listening.
Thank you guys, and we will talk to you in a couple weeks.
See you later.